I want to welcome those who are watching online. And if you have a Bible or an iPad or a phone, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. On Easter Sunday, typically the pastor will talk about the resurrection of Christ, and that will be the message, or possibly our own individual resurrections when he calls us from the grave, if we are gone when he returns. But this morning, instead of doing that, I'm just going to go ahead and continue the regular Sunday series that we've been in from 1 Corinthians 13, where we've been talking about love and what it means to love others the way God loves us. And remember what we've said so far. According to the Bible, love is the trademark of a true follower of Jesus Christ, meaning it frankly matters not what you say to people. It's how you treat people that determines whether or not you're a genuine Christian. Did you get that? You see, the Bible tells us that love is a verb of action, not an adjective of emotion. That's why Jesus could tell us to love our enemies, even though they ridicule us for what we believe. Because love is not how you feel, love is what you do. You see, the truth of the matter is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're in the minority today. And people will make fun of who you are and what you say you believe, and will call you names, and will try to cancel you out. Well, here's what I'm trying to say to you that the Scripture tells you to do. Love even your enemies. Now, if you want to know what that looks like, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. But it's not just our enemies. You see, you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, my family, I love my family. Well, yeah, sure you do, until something happens that causes a disruption in relationship. And then it's like, oh man, I'm really hurt. Well, be careful. The world will tell you if you lose your affectionate feelings, you've fallen out of love. No, the Bible tells you the truth. Feelings are irrelevant. If you want to be known as a follower of Jesus Christ, love people the way he loves you. The problem is, most of us feel like the Lord doesn't really care much about us and doesn't have good feelings when he thinks about us. And so we think that's the way we ought to be with other people. I'm telling you, the Lord in his love for you is proactive, consistent, faithful, never ending. Now, how do we love people in the same way? 15 descriptions of real love in 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going through them one at a time. This morning we come to one little phrase. The Bible says love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Now remember, we have said that because love is the trademark of real Christianity, and if you consider yourself a Christian, you can put your name where love is. Wade does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Now that sounds real churchy. I mean, let's just admit it. And the reason is we don't use the word unrighteous or unrighteousness anymore. So let me see if I can help you understand what this phrase means. First, let's look at the word unrighteousness. It comes from the Greek word adikia. The New Testament was written in Greek. You don't read Greek. I know a little Greek. I know enough to know that the letter A or alpha in Greek, A in English, negates what follows. Adikia. A means not. Dikia means right. In English, we speak of somebody who is amoral, someone without a morals. Arakia is someone who is unrighteous. And a believer in Jesus Christ who loves other people does not rejoice in what is not right. Make sense? Okay. Now we come to the million-dollar question. How do we know what is right? Folks, that's not easy anymore. Because you'll meet men out in society who want to compete against women, and they will tell you that they are a woman. And when you look at them and you say, well, that's just not right, they will come back at you and say, well, who are you to tell me what is right? Now, before we pick on culture, let's look at the church. We don't have the same problem within the Church of Jesus Christ of determining what is right or wrong. And I realize that there are a lot of things that happen in high-profile leaders. They're caught in immorality, things that are wrong. And, I mean, they are punished in the papers. They are mocked on Facebook. They are ridiculed on Twitter. And everybody says, look at those hypocrites. You know what my response to that is? They're not a hypocrite at all. They knew it was wrong. That's why they hid it. They didn't rejoice in it. They knew it was crooked. That's why they covered it. You see, there's a difference between someone who rejoices in unrighteousness and another person who knows that it's wrong and tries to hide it, but for whatever reason can't lick it. Can't kick it, can't get over it. Are you with me? You see, I watched just a clip of the Grammys. I can't watch. I haven't watched it in years. But I saw the clip of Carly B singing this vulgar, vulgar song. I've written about it. Tom, I think you've read it, the words of the song. I couldn't even quote it here on the stage. It's too embarrassing. She sang it on national television, stuck her tongue out, and let other women kiss it. And if we say to CBS, that's just not right, they may ask us, who do you think you are to determine what is right? Well, may I propose that you and I can never love anyone until we at least know what right is. So how do we know? Well, we read and we obey the words of Jesus. It's that simple. If you want to know, guys, how to treat your wives, listen to what Jesus said. Businessmen, if you want to know how to operate a business, listen to Jesus. Political leaders, if you want to know how to run a government, listen to Christ. Second, honor and comply with the laws of man. That's how you know what's right. The laws of man are put in place in order to protect people for the public good. You may be surprised if you read what I have recently written, because you know that I have spoken out vocally in terms of the direction of our government. But don't be surprised, because I believe everyone owes an allegiance to one's government. For the Bible says, every person is to be subject to governing authorities. For all government authorities are put there, established, ordained, is the way the King James Version says it, by God. But if a government ever starts demanding things contrary to the word of Christ, then it is our duty as lesser magistrates to oppose the higher magistrate for the sake of the King. I'll give you an illustration of this. I know a little bit of history, almost too much to be dangerous. Did you know that Vespasian, when he ruled Rome, sent 2 battalions of soldiers to kill the Jews in Tiberias? And when the soldiers arrived, the commander in charge of the battalions stepped in front of his men, met the leaders, the Jewish leaders of Tiberias, and in essence said this: I cannot follow the orders of the emperor. To put you to death for the worship of your God would be a violation of what I know our mutual God would want. That to me is boldness and courage and an understanding that the highest authority in your life is Jesus Christ, not the government. And we have to be careful before we cause people to believe that their trust should be in the government rather than the Lord. For example, when Jesus said, pray like this, give me this day my daily bread. When's the last time you have ever prayed and asked Jesus for your daily bread? The psalmist said, I have never seen the righteous go hungry. Have you ever considered that your God will give to you every need that you have? We must be careful substituting the government for God. But having said that, there are laws in place by the government that tells us what is right or wrong. A few years ago, I had a gentleman in our church when marijuana was not legal. And I met him. He knew I loved him. I met him down at one of our local restaurants. And he said, Pastor Wade, he said, I just want you to know that my wife's really upset because I'm smoking dope. I said, that's illegal. He said, I know, but there's a lot of things the government does that I don't agree with, and I'm choosing to smoke dope. I said, I understand that, but do you recognize that if you are arrested for violating the law, your wife is going to lose a husband, your kids are going to lose a father? This law is in place for a purpose. Now, it's one of the reasons why I oppose the changing of the law in Oklahoma. And before you get upset with me, just understand, I didn't do it in blind ignorance. I called my friend Jeff Van Vonderen, who wrote the classic book, Good News for the Chemically Dependent and Those Who Love Them. And I said, Jeff, he founded the Emmy Award-winning show, Intervention. I said, Jeff, tell me, should marijuana be legal? He said, Wade, no. I said, why not? He said, because you make it legal, you're not going to find anybody that can drive your trucks, make the deliveries, work in manufacturing. He said, it is a curse on society. I oppose the law being changed. And guess what? It went ahead and went through, and now you look around Enid, why in the world can you find more marijuana shops than you can dress shops? Let me tell you something. I say that, and you're looking at me saying, how can you determine what is right? It's a good question. The Lord, law, and pay attention to conscience. You see, here's the thing. Yesterday, I was at Atwood's buying some worms, took the grandkids fishing. Oh, my word, I don't fish very much. How many did we catch, Levi? About 20? Yeah, I had no idea you could buy worms, live worms, at 15 different places in Enid, Oklahoma. They're right beside every marijuana shop. I went in and bought worms for those kids, and we went out fishing, and I was in the Atwoods parking lot, and there's this guy that gets out of his truck. He is tatted up. He's tatted up all the way up his neck. I mean, he was the gruffest looking guy. He had chains, and he was wearing a gun on his belt. And man, he walked in to that store, and I thought, if I didn't know any better, I mean, I'd be scared, okay? But I looked at that man, and I knew what I was going to tell you this morning, and I thought to myself, that man is my brother. That man is created in the image of God. Every single one of us has a conscience because we reflect the imago Dei, the image of our God. Guess what? Every one of us has this inner sense. That's not right. That's not right. Over time, people suppress that. And just like, ladies, you can burn a piece of cloth and ruin it with an iron when you press it too hard. Just like your skin can become calloused and lose its nerves when it's been burned, your conscience becomes seared when you stop listening to that little voice inside of you that says, this isn't right. Pay attention to your conscience. And understand this. People by nature delight in doing what is not right. They delight in adikia. By their nature. Now, they have this conscience that says it's not right, but we're all fallen. We're separated from the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us this. The Bible says those without God, those who have not been regenerated or redeemed, they are filled, and that's the word, saturated, permeated with all manner of unrighteousness. And that's the word adikia. In fact, this word adikia is used 25 times in the New Testament. And it is translated with words like evildoers, iniquity, injustice, unrighteousness, or wickedness. A Christian, the Bible says, does not delight in adikia, in those things that is not right, those things that are crooked. You see, it should turn your stomach. When you see a man who murdered his mother in 2010 being released from prison, walking the streets of New York, and he kicks the head of a Chinese woman, and then he kicks her again, he kicks her. It should turn your stomach, and it ought to turn your stomach that there was a man inside that store that didn't go out and save that woman. That's not right. And I'm telling you, we Christians need to understand that being a Christian is not being a patsy. It's not being a pushover. It's not being a person with the mind of mush or a spine that is soft. No, a Christian is one when he sees what is not right, he does not rejoice in it. And in fact, he will do all he can to make what is crooked straight, to make what is wrong, right? This is what it means to love. Notice, Paul says in Romans as well, when you come to know Christ, he says, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of adikia. Now, I want to close by giving you some encouragement. You're listening to this and you're saying, wow, that sounds like, man, the old-fashioned kind of preaching I grew up with, the independent fundamentalist kind of... No, you're missing me here. You're missing me. No. I used to be considered the most liberal Southern Baptist in Oklahoma. Seriously. Because I view that women are equal to men in terms of giftedness and spirituality. And now they consider me to be a conservative and a fundamentalist conservative. And I'm like, guys, all I'm saying is this. Something is happening in our world where people are not listening to what is right. But if you hear me condemning you because you're doing what your conscience tells you is wrong, I'm not. For you see, I close with this. It is the delight in adikia that God condemns. It's one of the reasons why there are addicts in this church who are some of my best friends. They don't delight in their addiction. They're wanting to conquer and kick it, and we are patient with them. It is the delight in it that God condemns. It's one of the reasons we offer celebrate recovery, because you know who you are. You're having that affair. You're doing that which you know is wrong. And by the way, it doesn't have to be illicit or illegal. It can be eating sugar and you know you're a diabetic, but you can't figure out why you can't give up the sugar. It could be stopping your eating and you know you're obese and you don't know how to quit. No condemnation from us. None. But we're saying, when you stop delighting in what is unrighteous, guess what? You can't say, well, I love being with bad people who have fun. What can I say? You can't say, everybody else is doing it. Why shouldn't I? You can't say, I'm forgiven by Jesus. So I'm just going to keep on enjoying what is not right. You can't say that. If you're truly a Christian, you're going to give it up. Or I'll put it this way. You're going to fight to give it up. I will not measure whether or not you've reached the end of giving up what is pulling you down. I will not do that. But I will challenge you to enter the fight. Because if you really want to love your family, if you really want to love the world, if you want to love people like Jesus loves you, you've got to fight autarkia in your life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. And my prayer is that this Easter, we might truly understand that to love people the way you love us, we fight against what's not right, and we embrace and enjoy that which is righteous. May by your Spirit this happen in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.